everybody. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Red Light Podcast with myself, Christine Meehan, Ms. Gina Savage.
Hello.
Ms. Tiffany Collado.
Hi.
And Ricky Sofer.
What's keeping happening? It real, yo.
What's going on, lady?
I don't know. I'm just going to do my black part for the day.
I feel like you should.
The cat of it.
Roll right into it. Just roll right into it.
You ghetto it up for me here today. I think I need more of you in my life.
Yeah.
We were talking about keeping it real, guys.
We were actually talking about that before we started.
Have the subject every time.
You should keep it real, red light things. Keeping it real. I have touched too many dirty kids, apparently, this week. So I'm a little under the weather. Also dealing with some relationship issues, which is, I just want to keep it real. You know what? I'd love to let's talk about kind of the end of things.
We can do that. And I think later on our guest will, you know, expound on relationships.
On some relationship stuff. Yeah.
Great. But
I think we always start in relationships with like idea that everything's going to be beautiful. This is going to be the one forever. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, I mean, at least that's kind of how I go into things.
Yeah.
With that like hopeful way, right? You don't go into relationships thinking, well, this one's going to go to shit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to hate him later.
I hope this lasts for 2 years.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to give you the 2.5 year mark.
Yeah, I'd just like to get past 6 weeks.
Oh, it's
6 weeks?
I call everyone I date now like the 6 week wonder. You know, I wonder where you go after 6 weeks.
Gina is an enigma.
Where you go. Where do you go? What do you got to do? What's happening? Why?
A friend of mine says that she gives everybody and everybody across the board like 2 to 3 months that they eventually will show their true colors. Mm-hmm. But for me, apparently, it takes me like 2 years to figure that out. I'm either in a relationship or I want nothing to do with the dating scene. That's how I work. There's no, like, I can date you for a couple of months thing.
Because we're chicks. I mean, it's not, dudes can be like, whatever. I'm just hanging
we can
out.
Do that. Do this but I love that. Our dude yeah. voice.
Dude voices. I mean, we're chicks. We want to know you see a future. You know, even though we already seen it. We already have your last name. But like
we've already doodled it.
Yeah, we doodled the little lines and everything. Yeah.
I've already looked up our horoscopes.
Pretty much. I mean, this is us.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, you envision a future. You envision a future when you're younger. Now I think I'm just more take it a day at a time type of person now. But it's disappointing when things don't work out. And I think it takes longer when you're younger to sort of get out of things a little bit because you so believe that the thing is going to work out. I did, you know, I was married. That didn't work out. But, you know, I actually do believe that my husband was probably the right guy for me, you know, at the time that I married him. And whatever. My point is this. Now that I'm older, I have less patience for BS. And when I see it coming, I call it out. And then I almost backtrack. I'm like, oh, I called it out too soon. I called your bullshit out too soon. You know,
I think that there are signs that things are going downhill, right? There are things that they do or that you do, right? Like, maybe when they start to fart around you and they never have before, you're like, wait,
wait,
like you're
when
not
did
a
that
farting
happen?
Guy.
Mine still don't fart.
Okay. Like, well, like, if
after a year.
You're not
it's
a farting
a
guy, but all of a sudden it's all like, you know, and you're just gross now. What?
Yeah. Well,
when did you start doing that?
Did it? Well, how long after he started farting?
It was about like 4 or 5 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's like the downward spiral. Like, it's just. I don't know. All right. So here, the kicker for me,
yeah,
I'm
going
to talk
cool.
about okay. it. The kicker for me, I was talking to a guy friend of mine and he made this wonderful comment about his girlfriend who they've been together for several years. And he goes, you know, she's just, and this is an offhanded remark. She's just this warm cupcake with sprinkles on top.
And disgusting.
Right?
About
disgusting.
About his girlfriend. Mm. And I looked at him and I think I started to tear up because I was like, he goes, no, you're not going to, oh man, you're crying? Don't cry. Please don't tell people about this. So now I'm going to do it on a podcast, but now I'm not going to say who it is. But I'm thinking, oh, I want to be somebody's warm cupcake with sprinkles on it.
I want to be a red velvet.
Right? Because there's nothing friendlier than a cupcake. There's nothing
true,
sweeter than that.
You know, we were talking before we got in the studio about like what we want out of a relationship kind of a thing. You know, I just want to be able to bug the guy. like all
totally,
the time.
Totally.
Like, allow me to bug you. Allow me to pick at you and touch you and bug you and, you know, annoy you.
But you'd still be that cupcake man.
Right.
I think every chick wants that to be able to.
Just let me do that.
Let me be crazy, basically.
Yeah, and just without, and know that it's just something I need to do. Mm-hmm. That's all I need. Just let me, you know, do that.
That's all that is. That's
because you'll get a lot of benefits out of that if you just let me do that. That's all I'm saying.
Meow.
There we go. So that was my that's what I want to talk about, ladies. Let's open it up.
Well, I go ahead, Jim.
Well, no, I was just gonna say let's red light that. Let's red light that because you know that's always gonna be on the table.
I would just recommend not dating.
But let's talk about why. Right, don't
date a comic.
Never
ladies.
Date a comic.
That's never,
no, even if it's really funny.
So we're always going to be drawn to that. So let's just not even red like that too. It's pointless because we're attracted to it. What about? Well, let's talk about what gets us out of that, which is the comedy in itself, and
the comedy, or just a text message.
Just text me,
because that was the end of mine. And I know it sounds
stupid.
That's
how you ended?
It wasn't okay. So the thing was ending, right? It had been back and forth for a long time, and then I don't know. I just said, "Screw this, I'm done."
Yeah, that's the heat of the moment.
But you get to a point.
You know what? Angry, if you're angry, and then you're not, and then you're like, okay, let's try this
again. I do that all the time. It's really... But the truth is, the
let's talk in 2 weeks. Do a podcast. So we're back together. I'm the cupcake. Oh, God.
Screw you, Ricky. It's over.
All right. So, So let's talk about the comedy.
Comedy.
Get right into that.
Got a show tonight. Oh.
Yeah. Lots of shows. Tonight.
Got a show. I'm excited.
Was on the road again.
Oh, that's what's up.
And my room was, it was like a concert hall. My room was so large. And
you had a big room?
I don't deserve this. and the headliner and the feature were in these little mini rooms. And I had this humongous.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I was like, I'm just the host here.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
No. And the bathroom was bigger than my apartment in New York City. It was,
you should have moved
it was
there.
Pretty beautiful. Yeah. But all I wanted to do was like, hello.
Now, let me ask you this. Were you, when you did the show, did you have all this relationship stuff on your mind, and were you able to compartmentalize, you know, where you were, or nothing?
No, I just enjoyed it. I had such a fun time.
Okay,
it was
good.
Great.
That's important.
But it's still in the back of your head. You know what I mean? Like everything. I think men are able to separate. Like they can go on stage and like kill. And then, you know what I mean? And like women would be like, I don't know.
No,
you don't
separate. Because once I get on stage.
I don't know, actually. Maybe not.
When I'm on stage, I'm free.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Everything that happened to me, the 20 hours or the 160 hours or however time that it's taken me to get on stage again, it all goes away the moment that I step in front of the microphone. In a way, like I'm...
No, I think you're right.
Kind of a clarity moment, and I could just be me and just do me and not worry about the other stuff.
You know, I often said when I was an aspiring actress, you know, and I was dating people, I said, you know, if somebody offered me a movie with Martin Scorsese directing, you know, and Al Pacino's in it, and, you know... No, and I'm just saying, my point is that, like, if I was offered that, like, I went into a dreamland. But if I was offered that, you know, none of this stuff would, because your goal is your goal no matter what. And I think, you know, it's nice to aspire to have a relationship, but, you know, we got to stay focused.
You got to stay focused.
Got to stay focused.
It's bigger than just, I don't know.
And that's what men can do. They can really focus on the goal.
Oh, they are.
And I'm not saying, wait, let me take that back. We can focus. Certain types of women have, you know, I'll include myself, have lost focus at times. That's all. We got to stay focused.
Let's stay focused.
All right.
That's what we're going to do.
So, Tiff.
Yeah, Tiff, what's going on?
How are you preparing for comedy right now?
Except I'm a hot concerned. Haircut I'm that concerned. We love.
Yeah, she looks great.
Oh, yeah. Shake that.
How am I preparing?
Yeah, are you writing? Have you been writing?
I've been writing. I haven't been going up.
Okay.
Because I like to fail.
But see,
I surprise myself, and I like doing that. I don't want to practice too much.
Right, because you know when you get up there, this is what happens. She gets up there, because I used to do this, where she gets up there, and she'll do it and it'll be great. And then she's then she'll think, oh, I should have done some more mics or this or that. So you're going to skate like you would a test, mm-hmm. right? You're going to get an 80. I'm already going to grade it. You're going to get an 80 when you could have got 100%.
That's an interesting approach. Like, I would never recommend it to any new comic. But since you've been watching it for, like, 5 years at least.
Yeah. I mean, I know, it like you said, it would be 100 if I did get up more. And I should. And I always tell myself after I do a spot that, all right, I'm going to go now and do this all the time. I get that, like, that euphoric feeling.
Yeah, but
like,
you know what?
I like
between
it,
doing it and watching it, there's a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And it's either all... I feel like somebody once told me it's either all or nothing. You're yeah. either in mm-hmm. or you're not in.
And I don't think I'm in it as much, like, for the reasons that maybe the two of you are in it. Because I just do it just to relieve stress. I'm not... I don't want to go further in it as far as make it a career choice or anything.
Right.
Because I can't focus that much on things.
Well,
I have slight ADD in that
awesome.
Way. I just do it because I don't like therapists, so I won't go see a therapist because I know that they're not going to give me advice that I want to hear.
That is therapeutic. Yeah.
And they don't help you in the way you think they're helping you. They just want your money. And they're going to keep you there as long as
they
can. So I'd rather just want to see
you. I'm going to differ on that because yeah. I see a therapist and it's yeah. helped me a great deal yeah. through the years because I have issues that I constantly try to work out, but I'm Jewish, so I think it just comes with the territory.
Or with the money.
You're just supposed to hate.
I wish I had money, but no,
I'm very Irish, so my therapy is alcohol.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's call it what it is.
Exactly, exactly.
I think that there's a theme, like you're talking about, like you can kind of be, it could be a stress reliever. And comedy, I feel like there's, you have to choose whether or not you're going to be honest about things, whether you're going to be open about things, if you can be free. And I think that there's a propensity for people to kind of only do that one little section of who they are over and over again, maybe like expand on it or elaborate on it or do that kind of thing. But I feel like they're the greats, the ones that we all aspire to be kind of like or do things like. They were free in the moment that they were there. They were talking about uh-huh. that. And I think eventually I want to get to that point where I can say that. I don't know about you, Ricky, if you feel like you're free when you're there.
I'm totally
there.
Free. People are like, you know, you're so vulnerable. Like when you're on stage, you're just vulnerable. You talk about all the shit that you don't want people. It's like you talk about all the things you don't want people to tell you. It's like you say it first mm-hmm. and it's like you're the winner. Of that, and I don't care. I mean, I just, like, if I'm admitting to be fat, I can't have you tell me I'm fat. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I can't
have
that.
You take away that pressure, that you're not ready for it.
Exactly.
Except you're so not fat.
Yeah.
Look, you're so not fat.
Erica, let's talk like women. But there's also...
Let's talk like women.
There's also this... I've heard about a story recently.
Was it on the train?
It wasn't. It was on the train. Yes, it was.
Was it really?
No. I always hear so many stories on the train.
I know.
This person gets up on a podcast and talks about this story, apparently. And if you know a person and you know their story, and then they get on like a public forum and they tell that story, but the details of what you know are not the details that are coming out
really
on the forum, you're like,
oh yeah,
what is going on? Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
You know, I feel like that when I see, I mean, the damn Facebook, but I feel that way when I see things on Facebook, when I know things about people that are friends of mine on Facebook, and I see all this happy, smiley BS, and I know the backstories behind, you know, why this is happening, why that's happening. Yeah. Like, you hypocrite mother, it's across the board, and I do it too. I'm like, hey, look at me, I'm outside at the deli, you know, who gives a shit?
I'm great.
Yeah, I'm smiling.
I just gotta say, I've been like, people think they know other people, and like, I was talking to this comedian, and he's like, yeah, this guy have a coke addiction. I'm like, I know this guy, he doesn't have a coke, he can't even afford coke.
He's right. Too poor.
I'm like, oh my god, I'm just, this is like a general remark, just to be like, mm-hmm. Unless you know for yourself, don't believe anything you hear. Like, this is, we keep forgetting. Everybody knows this, but we keep forgetting. You know
right.
what I mean?
Nobody.
God, that trips me out, man. Mm-hmm. Come on, dude.
Yes, comedy comes from somewhere, but also the drama and the things. That,
oh, my
like
God.
The, everything that's
like
the gossip that surrounds
opera.
It. Yeah. Those things are, people are falling into characters. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing because they're kind of feeding into a a conversation of sorts, like the comedy conversation or the comedy social network or whatever. Ugh. And that's not real life. Mm-hmm. That's like what people are creating. I think there are two different sides of it. And so that's what I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because I do think that ultimately, like, the great comics that are the ones that are really in touch with themselves, you know, that speak from an organic place, that, you know, are risk takers, that are in the moment, and you know, the ones that you identify with. And so, you know, to me, when bad comedy, or not as great. Good as it could, not great comedy, is when it's sort of performed out, like it's like a, you know what I mean, like, and it's like, it's, you don't have to perform it, you're not perform, you know, it's not the right word, but
it just is. It's just, you just,
you don't
are.
Need to act it out, kind of thing. You just need to be yourself.
It's authenticity. It's not so structured that you know that it's just simply like them doing their character.
Exactly.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, finding your voice, I guess that's what we're talking about.
Oh, God, just not finding your voice.
So that being said, so I did a stand-up. Routine.
How'd that go?
I did a stand-up routine. I did. I was a routine of the shit that I do.
Dad, he promoted our show on Facebook, and he goes, "Come see my daughter's show with an all-female cast."
An all-female cast.
So I went. So I said, "Dad," he's like, "All right, well," and it was nice. No, it was nice to him because my dad's very supportive of it.
Right.
Because he's like, female cast. He's like, "My daughter's a famous comic." I'm like, "All right, nobody's famous. No one's a comic." I was
so
like, "Relax."
Sweet,
but he called all of you a cast.
We are.
Said, it's not a show.
We are a cast.
Precious.
We're a good cast.
But it was. But he doesn't know the terms.
That's as
but
much
it was cute.
That's
it was
as sweet as the cute. Cupcake thing.
Guys. Cute. My aunt shares cupcake. My flyers, and she's in Israel. How adorable is
that's
that?
Sweet.
Yeah, so, no, just to say that, like, you know, I experimented with, you know, just allowing myself to be free. Now, I, like Tiffany, I don't do stand-up. That's not, you know, I manage clubs and try to keep people in line.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how we get we got quiet.
Down.
I try
no,
to keep them in line.
You do.
You know, but I want to talk about Al Martin just for a second because, you know, he's really, you know, people start with a dream. They want to make money and they want to do, you know, they have this, you know, he came up with this New York comedy club. And I think you got to give credit where credit is due. This is a man that like started a business and it parlayed into another business. And what it does for people is it provides a lot of people employment, a lot of people, a lot of comics opportunities. And I think, you know, people forget that, you know, he really launched a lot of people's careers. He really has. So I just wanted just for a second, because it was lost on me a little this week. Something happened. I'm not going to say it's not important. It's just that sometimes you just have to give credit where credit is due. A lot of us would not be here without one man's vision. And it was vision. New York Comedy Club. It might have been, you know, a space in a
basement.
In a basement, whatever. But it's vision that has employed people, that has put money in people's pockets, and I'm grateful to that man. So I just wanted to say that. That's all.
And open up doors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we very appreciate
it. I kind of like
him.
Just
we're also
a good
up
guy.
On
dude,
yeah. New York Comedy World.
He gets
website,
no respect.
So let's say thank you. Say
it.
Thanks, Mr.
Right.
Martin.
Respect,
we appreciate
respect.
It.
Respect.
Do this.
It's my Italian man voice.
kiss the ring now.
All right. Oh, but if okay. Because I lost my comedy book. I just want to say if somebody found like crazy notes with obsession for black guys.
If you
oh, that's
it.
Yours?
I just right. want my comedy book.
Ricky, I'm sorry.
If anybody finds
book.
A comedy
that's
book.
Really sad.
Not a comic book. But if you find a book with jokes and stories about black men, it's Ricky Sofers. Please drop it off at Greenwich Village Comedy Club on Tuesday.
Half Hebrew, half English.
Google thank that. You.
Google that.
We wanted to bring our guest on. Yes, is that is
no?
What we
I, don't,
to do?
I don't want to do.
We don't
that.
Want to bring
no,
our guest on.
No, of course
on.
We do.
I think we should. We are here with comedian and the quintessential guys guy. He writes for the Total Frat Move and Bro Bible. The very funny Mr. Jared Fried.
How
hi,
we
Jared.
Doing?
Welcome, Jared.
Thank you, ladies.
Welcome
you
said,
for having me.
You said you felt like we should smoke some weed down here.
It has that look of it. Just the guitars up. I don't even smoke weed, but it does look like.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. He doesn't look like he smokes
no,
weed.
Really.
He
no.
looks like the clean guy, the clean cut guy that like sells it to make a profit.
Exactly. How surprising
to the frat
Jewish.
Guys.
I don't know. I get freaked out on weed. I don't know. You guys ever get freaked out?
Yeah,
I get too neurotic, and I need to be like around people I'm very comfortable with, like in a comfortable spot, and know I'm there for like the next 6 hours.
Yes.
Like,
so that doesn't happen too often.
No, I don't. Like, I need to like. I feel like weed's a relationship drug. Like, it's fun to do with like a girl that you're dating long term, that you like know that like, okay, we can just sit here and be fat
and be paranoid and be paranoid
together. Right, right. We can watch seven movies back to back, but it's not a single guy drug. Like, I don't think it is. Like, I think if I went out like on a Saturday night,
don't ask my ex husband about that.
Oh, really? For me, it is, because if I tried to pick up shit, I was like, hey, what's going on? And I'd be like, I can't believe I just said that. What did I just say? You know, like, I'd think about every word that I would say.
Do you do that on a regular basis, though? Do you really give a crap about what you say? Not really.
On weed, I think
on
twice.
Weed only.
I was on a car ride once, and we were driving to a wedding, and everyone in the car smoked, and then I was freaking out about why I was even invited to the wedding. And I was in the wedding. Like, I was in it. I was a groomsman.
Oh,
and
shit.
That's all. I kept going, I don't think we're even friends anymore. Like, I kept freaking out about that.
I would definitely smoke on a way to any wedding. Even
really?
If I don't smoke. Oh, my God. I hate weddings. Ugh.
I hate them, too. But that
you have to, dude.
You get in your own head about that stuff. Because then you're like, do I even know these people?
But wait a second. Haven't I heard that you go to a lot of weddings?
I do go to a lot of weddings. I don't know how I made all these friends. I guess I'm an easy invite just because they know I usually don't bring it. I won't bring a date. And,
wait, why do they know that you won't bring a date?
Because I don't have a serious girlfriend. So they're like, oh, Jer is just, throw him in.
He's just one for like $150.
Yeah, one plate.
$200.
Why not? Yeah. And
he'll
have
be
fun.
Out on the dance floor.
He'll make fun of one guy like really badly.
And you take a good picture.
Yeah, I can take a picture.
Nice picture.
Yeah, I can get dressed nice. You don't have to worry about what I'm going to look like. Like, I'm not going to show up in like Crocs. You know, like, some people don't know how to dress for weddings. But I just, one wedding I went to, I just spent making fun of the guy who gave the speech because he kept like darting around the dance floor while making the speech. It was like a bug. Like, going
that's like a wedding crashers moment.
Yeah, it really was. And I was like, this guy. And then I was kind of drunk and I made fun of him a little too loud. I think they were like, okay, Jared, it's enough.
Did you make balloon animals too?
Kids. And I made friends with some girl's dad that I was going to hook up with. That was
a good approach. Nice. Starting with the dad.
Well, how many weddings have you been to like in the past year, say?
Wow, definitely. I love that he has to think about
that.
Seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, you're not like a girl where you have to buy the things and you have to come up with a present and you have to, right?
Totally. I mean,
like,
I feel horrible for the girls. They don't, it's not fair.
No, it's not an investment for you. You just go and have a good
time. It is a little bit, but it's not as much. You know, like I was like a groomsman for a few of those weddings and, you know, one was a destination wedding and that was like a little bit more, but then the other ones were just like, show up, make sure you have a tux. Nice.
And then bachelor parties and the whole nine yards.
By the way, so you know, Israeli wedding, people are just jeans and t-shirt.
Yeah, Israelis are the funniest to dress at weddings.
they're
the guys in Crocs.
They're saving
they're the guys that don't know how to dress for weddings. It's crazy.
Really
Ricky,
they're saving their money.
Yeah.
Saving the money.
Making sure they
can
spend it elsewhere.
That's why Jews have
money. Exactly.
Do you feel like when you go to these, because we're also fat, because I haven't been to a wedding in the past couple of years, probably because I moved up to New York and nobody's married up here, but like everybody's struggling. But like, I know when I go to a wedding, you can kind of tell if these people are going to make it or not. Do you have that?
Absolutely. That's the people I'm most happy for, are the ones I know are going to like, you know, if it's going to go well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you do have this sense of like, oh, this is going to be good for them. Like, I do have like, I didn't think I'd feel this way, but I'm genuinely happy for my friends. Like, when for the most part, they're all on the right track and it's going to work out. Like, I'm never at a wedding where I'm like, oh my God.
Jared has some high quality friends.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
They're like invested in it. Like, put in all this time. Like, it's not like, you know, girl got knocked up after a month and now like, okay, let's get this going. You know, like, it's not a lot of that. But
which is the good case, by the way.
Hey, you were just talking about one on your podcast, right? Like a castle. Like,
I went to a wedding at this castle in Long Island. It was great.
Oh,
like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a huge castle. Mm-hmm. And her family like was down to like they had a great time, huge band. Like it was an unbelievable wedding. And I'm like happy for him. Like he's like got a nice future ahead of him,
right.
It seems like. But sometimes you're at these weddings, you're like, the problem is like you get older going to weddings is that the pressure to hook up with the one other single person yeah. becomes bigger and bigger.
Like you always, though, you always have to take the, what is it called? The thing, the garter, and put it up to you. Do you have to do that a
Are
lot?
You that guy?
Are you that guy?
I know what you're talking about. I saw that once at a wedding. My buddy Chris, he had that, but I never see, I don't remember what that's even for. I just remember like, there would always be one girl who's definitely single and everyone's like, Jared, you, there she is. There it is. Got to go after that one. Then there's like two other dudes who have like the same people saying it to them. So they're like, yo, buddy, you got to go after it. And Jared's going after it too. So whoever gets it, like, is the head dude at the wedding. Like, you feel like a loser. Like,
if you don't.
And it's like, I don't even want to hook up with this person. I just want to have fun with my friends. And you get forced into this, like an arranged hookup.
Yeah.
That's, I think everybody wants to know. Does she have to be Jewish?
A chick?
Yeah.
See?
No, it did.
All
no.
chicks?
No, we weren't thinking that, Ricky, but okay.
Do all chicks have to be Jewish?
For you.
For you.
I've said this before. I have one buddy that calls me a racist because I want to marry a Jewish girl.
Well, just like, makes
well,
it easier
if you're a Jewish girl. Just, okay.
The language is the same.
It's the same thing. It's right. Saying I won't be with this other person because I have to be with this person because they're... In his mind, he's saying they're better. I just think it's less of a pain in the ass. Mm. So like my mom wouldn't get over the fact. Like it would be like why would
She's
I even deal
not
with
Jewish.
That? Yeah, it would be like a whole thing.
Jared. I gave her that voice.
Yeah, that's
She's not Jewish.
Yeah. What if she converted? The girl converted.
It's not the same.
It was to her. I have to deal with a giant pain in the ass if
really?
I ever brought home a non-Jewish girl. So
could she be Jewish and older? Just kidding. Yeah.
That's okay.
Hey mom. Hey mom.
Here's the thing.
Half of what you wanted.
Your mom and I could hang out actually.
Hey mom, when'd you graduate? Stay with me. But the thing is also. Also, I do think that I have more in common with a Jewish girl without even speaking. So mm-hmm. like when I talk about, oh, I went to summer camp, then she's like, I went to summer camp. That's like a really juvenile example, but juvenile. I do have that in my, like, that's part of my life. You know, like yeah. I do have camp friends that I keep up with still and I go to their weddings. So like mm-hmm. before we've even met, there's a commonality
there's
that
a
I
base
wouldn't have.
For
yeah,
I went
so,
to Jew camp too.
So like, yeah, you went to camp too. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, and that was the thing. I had a buddy who got married to this girl who wasn't Jewish, and like, I'm happy for them and everything. But him and I like went to camp together, and it's like a very big part of our lives and our friendship. And she was kind of like, oh, they did Jew camp together. Like it was like a throwaway thing. And I was like, no, this is like a big deal to both of us. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but like you guys are getting married. You should think it's as big a deal as he does, I think. So
Jew camp is amazing.
It's amazing. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. To now it is. It used to not be.
Yeah. So, yeah. Back in the day, it wasn't so nice.
Those camps were the fun ones. But I'm saying like I...
Back in the day. Yeah.
So she has to be Jewish, ladies.
All right, she doesn't have to be.
I'm
but
giving
I,
your mother a call.
For the mother.
Yeah.
Anyway...
I actually have. This may be the strangest question.
Sure.
When you're at these parties, at these weddings, have you ever seen?
I love
where,
that this has become.
I
didn't know that I was like the wedding.
You're guy. The wedding expert for right now. But have you ever seen this? And it seems like you'd be one of those guys that's in this kind of group where they put their drinks in the middle of the dance floor and then they dance like they kind of dance to the drink.
Yeah, I like that he's
have
laughing.
Seen this?
He's done
he knows
it.
What I'm
he
talking
has
about.
Done that.
What is this?
I do this at non-wedding. I'm serious. My buddies here that I made a bunch of friends in New York that like, you know, they all come from high school, but then we have this like big crew of Boston people. And when we go out to bars, we do the bottle dance.
What is it?
It's just the bottle dance. And I've seen some ridiculous, like my one buddy JW does like a push up and picks it up with his mouth and then drinks from it. And he like tries to kick over it without kicking it. And if you knock it down, you've ruined the whole party
that's
and everyone
really
goes crazy. It's a fun thing. It's the dumbest thing, but we do it a lot. Thing,
I've said it is a lot of fun, but you see it, the first time you see it, you're like,
what the fuck?
Why are these people dancing to their drinks? Like,
I was at a wedding once where we did it, and my buddy's girlfriend like picked it up like with her legs, but like the whole... look of it was supposed to be like a vagina pickup. Like that was the whole effect. And people were like in shock. Like they couldn't believe.
At the wedding.
What is wrong with these people? Yeah. At a wedding.
At a wedding. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to take back that your friends are appropriate.
This is one of the early ones.
These are high quality friends.
We should do some comedy
Let's
questions.
Talk up. Yeah, let's move comedy. On. Red lighting this subject matter. Moving on.
So you write this hetexted.com. It's like dating. Relationship advice, things like that.
Girls send in their texting questions about guys, and then I answer them for them.
So give us a good example of one where you're like, come on.
Wait,
the most worst.
Well, hold on. Do you guys have any texts from guys? That would be a good
Listen,
thing.
Listen, I'm the classic misreader of texts. Well, you add a smiley face to anything, you're in love with me.
Well, that's
he
the
smiled
thing.
Smiled into a smile and a wink and a smile.
That's my biggest advice to people, because a lot of the questions, you know, they go into different categories. But my biggest advice to girls is that anything said over text doesn't mean as much as said in person.
Yeah.
So like when you say I like you over, and a lot of the questions come from like high school students, but it goes from high school up to like, I've had like people that are like, oh, I'm in my 50s and I just got divorced and they don't
hello.
But these are questions, like these are things that our parents never had to deal with. Like it was never in like single America even 10 years ago. So like girls will be like, well, he said I like you this and I like you that and I like you this. And it's like, think about if you say to somebody I like you face to face, think about all those like problems. Yes. How their facial expression, your initial facial look, think of the like the
non-verbal
ledge they had to jump.
Yes.
Yeah, the ledge they had to jump off of to make that, you know, that proclamation to you, I like you. And then it's like, oh my God, she didn't even say I like you back right away. If you text I like you, you could turn your phone over and be like, I'm not looking at it for an hour.
This is actually a pet peeve with the texting in general. Like I like to communicate.
Sure.
So when I ask someone that I'm seeing to call, let's not do this texting thing so that we can have a real dialogue. And then, and that person doesn't want to actually have a dialogue. I pretty much know the answer to whatever question,
right?
Because we've stopped talking as a society. We just want to do this. Thing.
I've had that happen where girls like, I like to talk on the phone. And I get that totally. I would much rather, like, if you're having a good text back and forth, I would always push for like, let's go on a date. Like, let's talk on a date. Like, I think the call is like, whenever a girl says, I'm like, yeah, I'll do this because I know I have to, because I know if I don't want to talk on the phone, we're not going to get to the next step, which I think is like the appropriate step.
Sex.
Exactly. I was thinking blowjob, but that's okay. Listen, we all have our preferences. But I'm saying like when girls say, well, he said this, he said that, he said this, what does he mean? I always say, here's my like, advice, and I think it works, and it's a matter of honesty. Is you text back, hey, things are crazy this week, but we should definitely get together next week.
Absolutely.
And then if he writes back, two choices: it's either an excuse or it's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a plan, go with it. He's just made a plan for you. If it's
Gina,
an excuse,
write it down. Gina.
All you have to write back is
I know these scribbles.
That sounds good. Let me know when you're ready. And if the guy takes you out, then he's in. He's taking action. He's not just saying words. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't and he keeps making excuses, time to look in the mirror. You know,
like, it's hard to look around for you boys. Mm-hmm.
So you're a lot of your comedy has to do with this kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I talk about this.
Yeah, you talk about it a lot.
The single dude,
and you're
knows
all
about
over.
Dating.
He does. Thank you for the insight into what.
Well, no, I mean, I grew up with two of my best friends are both girls, and like they grew up across the street from me, and I was never like it's not like I walked around high school owning high school. I wasn't like a cool, like I was cool enough, but like I didn't have a bad childhood, but I wasn't like, you know, slamming a bunch of chicks in high school, you know, like so I get what it's like to be turned down or to kind of see that other side. So I feel like I've been like a brother to a lot of girls in a lot of these cases for like a long time, which is like totally fine, and now it's to my advantage, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that gives me a little bit more insight than maybe like, you know, if you meet a bro-y guy, he's just going to be like, I've been fucking forever. I don't care. You know, it's whatever.
But it's so funny because the way that your character is, the way that you kind of come across, or that kind of that, yeah, the character, the image seems like that bros, you know, the bros guy, the guys guy. And then you have all this insight. So I feel like the and juxtaposition muscles. Of those two things is really funny, but because you
thank
don't
you.
That you're not afraid. Right.
Well, I think if I didn't realize how stupid some of these things were, then I wouldn't be funny. You know, right? I think like you have to, like, if anything, you have to like, you have to know that what you're saying is a little bit ridiculous, or like, you know, or know that how people, I think I've said this before, when I started comedy, I didn't know that people thought I looked like a douchebag.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I
knew, yeah,
I totally
thought you were a douchebag.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys agreed way too quickly to that.
I put it nicer, guys.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I never thought, because everyone I know looks like me. Like, I never.
Well, what's with the frat thing? Why did you join a frat?
Oh, just because I was like, I went to school in Pennsylvania at Penn State, and I'm from Boston. It's a good way to meet people.
It's a huge thing up there.
It's a huge thing at Penn State. Yeah.
Or down there, sorry.
Yeah. And I just was like, I want to meet a bunch of people. I want to meet girls. I want to have fun, and I want to go to school and work hard at school. So there was no reason not to. And I had friends in them. And to me, I was like, okay, I wasn't like, I didn't go to Penn State with the thought of I need to join a fraternity. I went to Penn State with, I want to meet people. And they were like, come see the house, meet the guys. If you like it, yeah, do it. And I was like, okay. And I went with an open mind. And I think people hate on that whole scene because it's easy to hate on. You know, I think it's easy to say, well, it's a bunch of guys that live together and they sound like idiots and they drink too much and they party too much and all they want
is
not sex.
Pretty easy,
right,
to
it lends itself to that.
It lends itself to hate. But like, if it was like, you know, there's also like a bunch of Indian fraternities and black fraternities, yeah, and Jewish fraternities. You know, like there's one for every, you know, type or kind. And then there's a mix. I was in a mixed house of just
Wait,
everybody.
What did you study?
Economics.
Oh.
So what's the thing that brought you?
A Jewish guy studying economics.
Yeah,
where does comedy
come
to? How do we do comedy? What's
yeah, what brought you there?
I was working in finance. I was like selling life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, doing like planning for people. And the best part of my day was writing funny emails to friends. So I was like, I want to do that all the time. Like when a friend told me that, because I love to ball bust over email. So I would like write back and make fun of people in my friend group. And when a friend would write back and be like, that was like individually be like, that was hilarious, man. You had me dying. I'd be like, oh, that felt better than anything yeah. I've done all week. So I was like, how do I repeat that feeling? And I just decided, I was like, my dad and I, we talk on the phone about TV shows from the night before. So it's like the writing was on the wall. And then my buddy works for NFL Films, and he had this show called NFL Full Contact, where they needed two super fans to go to the draft. And he was like, you should do this. This would be hilarious. Because I used to dress up in my fraternity. I'd dress up as like characters and stuff and do like stupid stuff for like just us. Mm. And then I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I called my buddy Big Cat up in Boston. I was like, dude, get on a Fung Wah bus. We're going to the draft. And then I went and bought, Big Cat's like this and I'm shorter. So I went and bought these 1700s Colonial Patriot costumes. You know, with like the wig, like looking like Mel Gibson.
Wait, is that on your Facebook
yeah,
page?
Yeah, it's on my Twitter.
It's on your Twitter. I saw it. Yeah, we're like,
that's
that?
Us at the draft. Yeah. So we're dressed as like Mel Gibson from The Patriot.
Yeah.
And we drop, and they like the NFL Films guys show up to my apartment, like thinking we're going to be like in jerseys and painted faces. And I was like, here we are. And they're like, what are you wearing? We're, like, yeah. We're like, we're Patriots fans. And they're like, you can't do that. And I was like, no, this will be funny. They're like, this isn't a funny show. And I was like, no, this will be funny though. Believe me. And they're like, no, you can't. I go, we won't do it unless we can wear the costumes. And we were matching. Like,
right. Yeah. That's great.
And they ended up letting us do it. And they were like, I get a call like 3 months later, and I'd already started thinking about comedy stuff, and they're like, hey, the people at True TV really liked that Patriot thing. They want to send you to
obviously.
London for the Patriots game.
Holy shit.
So they just did a Patriot, they just did a game in London, and they sent us to the Patriots game in London, and they had us like screw around, and they're like, bring the costumes.
You lucky bastard.
Yeah, so it was bad. Like, but it was cool to see like an idea that I had that was visually funny was like, oh, people saw that, and it was like, that was a fun thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't believe that that the time has passed this quickly. Like, we got to wrap it up. We got to give you the red light.
That's okay.
But thank you so much for coming. What's coming up for you, and what do you have going on that we can kind of last out to everybody?
Nothing. Everything's pretty bleak right
okay.
now. Things are pretty bad.
Yeah. So bad he's got another wedding.
I gotta go to a wedding.
So bad he's...
I have an interview for a finance job coming up. But
okay,
congratulations. No,
I'm on Twitter, and I do podcasts and columns and videos every week.
He really is everywhere.
He really is.
Yeah, you're omnipresent, and you've skyrocketed, really, I think.
Thank you.
You really have, out of the gate.
Trying my best, but Twitter, at JTrain56, and... Every week, new columns, new podcasts, new videos. Nice.
So hetexted.com.
I do a column for them every week. I do a column for Total Frat Move. I do videos for Bro Bible. And I'll do the podcast for TFM. So
awesome.
And you can be seen where?
At New York Comedy Club, Greenwich Village Comedy Club with Gina all the time.
There you go.
And all over the city. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks, guys, thank you for having
me.
We
love you, Jared.
Fun.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap this up. We're giving ourselves the red light here. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in again for our fourth episode. We'd like to thank our guest, Mr. Jared Fried. Thanks,
whoop, whoop.
Jared.
Yay.
And let's all go around. We're going to say, well, you guys can find us on Facebook, The Red Light Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter now, The Red Light Podcast. If you just search for that, you can find us. And then...
And individually, you can find me at Savage in the City.
Tiff?
Just go on Facebook and look for Tiffany Collado. That's it.
And Ricky Sofer.
And you can find me at Funny Christine. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.